Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark, and chapter 1, page 1546 of the Church Bibles. And we come this evening in our studies in this Gospel to verse 40, and we read, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded, as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." Last time we noted that in the miracles of Jesus we have teaching to be learned. Yes, they point to the identity of Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, but they also teach us a great deal concerning what Jesus is able to and came to do. Could be helpful for us to think of them as enacted parables, teaching parables of representing in the material things, in the physical things, what Jesus did in working on man's souls. Remembering this as we work through the Gospel of Mark together will be most helpful, because there are so many miracles in Mark's Gospel account. In fact, there are far more miracles than there are sermons of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that does not mean the Gospel narrative is without teaching. Indeed, we have such teaching in the miracles themselves, and we have such a miracle before us. And it's a particularly helpful one, particularly graphic one, and it clearly speaks to man's condition and salvation found only in Jesus Christ. It has often been said that leprosy is a parable in and of itself. One man described it as an outward visible sign of inmost spiritual corruption. Another writes, "Its hideous symptoms, its rotting sores, its slow, stealthy, steady progress, its defiance of all known means of cure, made its victims only too faithful a walking image of that worst disease, sin." So in this parable before us, as we see this leper, we have a parable of the deliverance from sin. The Lord Jesus delivers this man from his leprosy, cleansing him. And in that we have a picture of deliverance from sin. Leprosy was and still is a severe malady. And it was especially severe for an Israelite to get. Not only did it entail a very nasty physical condition, but you were publicly declared unclean. You had the stigma of being unclean. You were not allowed to partake of any social activities, part of normal life. Not only that, you were ceremonially unclean. You were cut off from the worship of God, prevented from partaking in the religious life of the nation, not just the social and civic life, but in the religious life too. There was an enforced barrier between you and God and his worship. You were cut off from the community of the covenant community of Old Testament Israel. Josephus, who was a very great Jewish historian from the first century, wrote that a leper had to live as if they were, in effect, dead persons. They were literally dead men walking, dead men and women walking. The word for leprosy used in the scriptures is not necessarily as narrow as what we term leprosy today. Often when we think of leprosy, we think of that disease that has been named Hansen's disease, that terrible disease. But it could also apply to many different skin diseases. Some were minor, mere skin irritations and ailments of the skin, but some were severe, serious conditions, such as Hansen's disease. And that's why in Leviticus, what we read, there was so many regulations and stipulations for the priests to be able to discern whether this was a serious case of leprosy, whether this entailed this person needing to be cut off from the community. Here we read that this poor man was full of leprosy. It was not a case of a small area of scaly or sore or raw skin. It's not something that just needed those week or 2 weeks to heal, as we read about when the priests checked and they were isolated and then came back and checked and then checked again. No, this man would have gone through all of that. But he was pronounced unclean. It was a horrible affliction. He was full of it. His body was overcome with it. And there was no hope. No hope. The picture we have is maybe in his latter years of enduring this condition, full of it, his whole body being affected with it. There was no known cure. No chance of restoration. The disease is a horrible thing in itself. It's a slow disease that attacks the nerves. At first it goes quite unnoticed, quiet, insidious. It grows and within the body and then growths begin to form on the skin, bringing disfigurement. The nerves are attacked and therefore extremities are easily damaged. There have been accounts of people literally wearing away their toes and their fingers, just doing normal activities. Infection would set in, rot would set in. It would affect their whole life. And though it was imperceptible at first, eventually it overcame them. Until sometimes even after decades of enduring its condition and stigma, they would perish completely. As I say, there was no cure. Even though today there is a cure for Hansen's disease, there is no cure for the effects that it has upon a body. In Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, we read how someone with such a condition and others like it were to live and were to conduct themselves. We read, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, and his head bare, and he shall cover his moustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. What an awful picture of an awful condition. One Old Testament theologian commenting on these two verses writes, "A diagnosis of leprosy was as much of a death sentence to ancient Israelites as tidings about an advanced malignancy would be to a modern patient. The diagnostic guidelines furnished for the priest physician would prevent him from bringing unnecessary sorrow and hardship to his countrymen, while at the same time ensuring the health of the community. Once a man was branded as a leper, he had to adopt the posture of a mourner by tearing his clothes, allowing his hair to become unkempt, covering his beard or moustache and crying, 'Unclean.' He had to live outside the camp, or perhaps with a company of other lepers, but his existence was nothing more than a living death. Unless there was a quick remission of the disease, the victim of clinical leprosy knew that his condition would be of lengthy duration, and that its loathsome nature would prohibit significant contact with society. Most of all, the leper would be cut off from spiritual fellowship with the covenant people, and in a real sense, would be without hope and without God in the world." That theologian takes the words of Paul to the Ephesians, where he speaks concerning Gentiles who are alien, who are foreign, who didn't know the covenants of promise of Old Covenant Israel. They were outside the covenant, alienated from God. Such was the condition of these people. Can you not see how this is a picture of sin? But not only sin, but the sinner. Sin is so insidious, creeping in unnoticed until it bears its corrupt fruit in our lives. It is often spoken of babies as they are innocent. Sin is not seen in them, though it is there, quietly nestling within them. And left undealt with, sin ultimately ends in eternal destruction. Not only that, like leprosy for an Israelite would cut them off from God, so our sin makes us unclean. Unclean before God. Cut off from God because he cannot endure sin in his presence. We indeed are all like an unclean thing. That's what the prophet Isaiah writes, doesn't he? He says, speaking to the Lord, "You are indeed angry, for we all have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." You need a saviour like this poor leprous man. Because in our hearts, though we are not leprous on the outside, our hearts are full of sin. Pictured by that leprosy of this man. We are like Isaiah, recognising that we all need to be saved. Just imagine that you had to live outside the city like this man. You know, all lepers were barred from any walled city. We're not even allowed to enter it. Cut off. They were cut off from God. But then news travels. Travels that Jesus is local. Jesus has come to town. That one that you've heard in the leper huts outside the community, the rumours have come that there is one that has been saving people, that has been healing people with just a word, multitudes of them. Is there a glimmer of hope yet? Surely this man can heal me. Oh, how I long to be clean, he would have said. And so he came. The man with leprosy came, as we read in verse 40. Now a leper came to him. He came. This would have taken great courage for this leper to break through all the rules and regulations, all the horror, all the stigma of the people of that age. And sometimes it does take great courage to come to Jesus. The fear of your peers. Others who may sneer at you, mock at you, put obstacles in the way for you to come. But despite everything opposing him, this man, seeing his wretched condition, his great need of saving, physically, he came and fell down onto his knees to Jesus. And notice what he says. He has a sincere cry, doesn't he? If you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing. He already believed that Jesus could. We don't know what his understanding of who Jesus is. Maybe it was just he had a confidence in his miraculous power. But for whatever reason, he believed that Jesus could. And he went to the one whom he believed could heal him. His one hope. It's quite astounding that Jesus could. Such a condition in such advanced stages, the damage to the human body that is caused. But he was convinced that Jesus could make him clean. But would he? That was his question. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Indeed, it's sometimes easier to believe that God can rather than he will. It's easier to recognize his power rather than to understand his willingness. But Jesus is able to save from the uttermost, the worst of condition of man. He is able to make them pure and whole again. And that is what we see here. You may have the other question in your mind. But surely I'm just too far gone. I know what I've done. Why would Jesus do this for me? Perhaps he can't do this for me because I'm so wretched. But this man was full of leprosy. And yet he was convinced he could. And later on we'll see Jesus did cleanse him. My friends, Jesus can make the foulest clean and can make you whole again. But notice also, he doesn't ask Jesus to heal him, but make him clean. Yes, he wanted healing. Of course he wanted healing. Who wouldn't want healing? But his real problem was that he was unclean. He was cast off, cast out, not able to partake. He was longing for cleansing. Oh, how he longed to be embraced by his family again. Oh, how he longed to be part of his people once again. Oh, how he longed to partake in community once again. Oh, he longed to be clean. He longed to hear that pronouncement of the high priest, clean. Yes, that entailed being healed from his leprosy. But he recognized his condition was worse than that. He was unclean in the people's sight, in God's sight. And he longed to be clean. And so there was a sincere cry. He came to Jesus and cried, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then we read of a compassionate response A wonderful, compassionate response of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that Jesus was moved with compassion, verse 41. Moved with compassion. The verb for moved here is similar to the way we would express that gut-wrenching feeling. That feeling deep within the pit of one's gut. He was moved with compassion, a heart of deep empathy for this poor man. This word is used of the Good Samaritan. You remember that story when the Samaritan came by and saw that person who had been robbed and left for dead. Oh, he was moved with compassion towards him. And it led him to action. In Luke chapter 15, the word is also used for the father of the prodigal son. When the father saw his son coming to him from afar off, he was moved with compassion. And what did it lead him to do? Run to him and embrace him. Something that would never be seen. And Jesus had that same response when he saw the severe effects of sin in this man's life. His gut churned with compassion. And his compassion upon this poor, lost man moved him to act. He reached out his hand and did something that would have shocked everyone in the crowd. Jesus touched him. Imagine that. Jesus, this great teacher, this great healer, touched the untouchable. Imagine you have been ostracized from a society. No one wants anything to do with you. By law, you are unable to touch anyone apart from another leper. For years, you have not been able to give your children a cuddle or embrace your spouse or your friends. And yet the pure, undefiled hands of the Lord Jesus Christ touched your stinking, infected flesh. What wonderful grace. What wonderful compassion. And in many ways, an exchange took place. No, I don't believe Jesus got leprosy. It's interesting to note that whenever a sinful man touched a holy object, it became defiled. But when the sinless Son of God touched the defiled, it became clean. But in many ways, he did take upon himself the consequences of his leprosy. And what the leprosy represented. In fact, when the man was cured and was able to go into society again, Jesus, ironically, had to go into the wilderness, didn't he? Into the deserted places. A great exchange. Jesus taking upon himself the sins of his people. And through compassion and grace, he bestows purity, cleanliness, wholeness upon his people. Importantly, in touching the leper, Jesus illustrates what he did in the incarnation, in becoming flesh. He became flesh and dwelt among sinners, partook of flesh. And Paul says something astonishing. He says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That he may take our sin, and that he may bestow upon us his righteousness, his purity, his holiness. Jesus stooping over that leper, kneeling on the ground, touching that rotten, stinking flesh. That poor soul, that poor man, made him whole again. Made him cleansed. And here we have a wonderful picture of what he does for his sinful people. With compassion, coming down, stooping low into creation. aligning himself with sinners as we have seen in his baptism, bearing our sin to the cross, doing away with all the consequences, the hideous, heinous consequences of sin, making us pure and whole. What wonderful salvation, what wonderful compassion there is in Jesus Christ. But notice thirdly with me, an immediate cure. An immediate cure. We have a sincere cry, a compassionate response, and an immediate cure. Jesus, having expressed his willingness verbally and showing his compassion physically, touched him and healed the man completely and immediately. This thing was visible to all who saw it. A wonderful, visible account of what Jesus did. The sores on his face healed instantly. If his fingers and other parts of his body were missing, immediately being reinstated, being whole again, healed completely, the disease removed, the sore, scaly flesh made like new, all the disfigurements changed and made good, swellings reduced, everything made whole again, perfectly clean, wonderfully new. Looking at Jesus' commands, how he commands this man to go straight to Jerusalem, straight to the temple and show himself to the priests, means that he was now fit enough to do some 60 to 70 mile trip. This was a complete, no half measure healing here, complete, utter healing, wholeness. No rehab needed here again. Wonderful. Wonderful healing, wonderful cleansing. And turning from the leper and what he represents to what he represents, sinners. There is complete and immediate cleansing from all sin for all who come to Jesus in faith and repentance. A gift of new life. The Bible teaches it as new birth. Wonderful new life, restoration into or reconciliation into relationship with God once again, atonement, at one-ment with God again. That is what this leper now had. Once he had gone to the temple in Jerusalem, once he had gone through what the law demands, through the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was made one with the people of God again, and made one in newness of relationship again. What a wonderful thing. Have you seen your leprous heart? Have you seen how vile sin is? One Puritan wrote of the sinfulness of sin. Have you seen how grave and how heinous and how hideous even the smallest of sin is in God's sight? It is like the leper, whom no one wanted to come anywhere near, who had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Well, my friends, if you have seen, like this man, your terrible condition, then come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he can make you clean. Just think of this man having been made clean in the presence of whoever was there. Before the Lord Jesus Christ, he came crying out, "Unclean, unclean," and now he could leap up saying, "I'm clean, I'm clean." Praise God. Hallelujah. But then Jesus goes on, doesn't he? And I don't want to dwell too much on these next few verses, but I do think that it teaches here the importance of obedience for those who are saved by, by Christ. The importance of obedience. Because along with Jesus healing and cleansing, restoring this man, he gave him commands. He had given him the cleansing. Now he must go to the temple in Jerusalem in obedience to the law for cleansing. Jesus had given him the strength to obey. Now he must obey. And in going to them, he would be a testimony to those at the temple, the priests at the temple. And in our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a testimony to all who see us. We don't come to him merely for salvation, but we come to him as our Lord. And we must submit to him as our Lord. And we are not told if he went or not. I'm sure he must have done, because up until that time, he would have been still ceremonially unclean. But sadly, we are told that he didn't obey Jesus' other command. Humanly speaking, we can understand this. He was so full of what Jesus had done that he just kept opening his mouth and telling everyone about what Jesus had done. Maybe he had good intentions in telling abroad the good news that his healer has come to town. Lepers can be healed. But he did not exercise the self-control that Jesus commanded him to. And sadly, because of his disobedience, ultimately it caused more harm than good. More harm for the cause of the gospel, for Jesus Christ, than good. He was prevented from doing what he desired to do, going into all the towns, villages and cities of Galilee. May we learn a lesson. May we who have been enlightened by the truth know when and where to speak and how to speak. This man knew that it was time not to speak. He must show himself to the priests at the temple. He had been directly commanded by Jesus. May the Lord give each one of us, of his people, discernment and wisdom to exercise restraint when required. May we know when is the time to speak and the time to keep silent. Many a time in our zeal, no doubt we have said things that has greatly hampered the cause of the gospel. May that not be so. May we be obedient to our Saviour in everything that we do. May we be sensitive. Sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, being wise, wise as serpents and harmless as doves, in everything we say, everything we do. Now, I was somewhat hesitant to apply this, because I think in this our day we are so shy to speak up. This is not saying we must not speak up. We are told to proclaim the gospel. We are told to give a reason for the hope that we have. But there is indeed a time to speak and a time to be silent. And may we know the Lord's wisdom in that. Well, we have seen tonight an amazing and wonderful and clear picture of a sinner, a leper, being cleansed when he saw his desperate state and knowing Jesus is able to save. We have seen Jesus' wonderful compassion towards the leper. His compassionate, healing touch. We have seen that complete cure, the complete purifying of that man that is available to the worst of sinners, for those who call upon him. Have you seen your spiritual condition tonight? The physical condition of this man was wretched. The spiritual condition of all unsaved person here tonight is wretched. You may not like to hear that, but it's the truth. It's the truth that Scripture tells us. And my friends, it is a wonderful truth, really. Because it is given us the truth, a mirror showing us our hearts, showing us our need. So many times the leper, right at the beginning, had no idea. And so much of the time we have no idea of the sin of our heart. My friends, the sin of our heart is like the outward condition of this leper. And if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, you can be cleansed. You can be made whole. And you can be made one with the people of God, the new covenant people of God. Do not be cut off from God any longer. Do not be cut off by your sin. Come to the Saviour who is able, who is willing to save you. Doubt no more. Amen.